Matthew 5:13, one verse out of the Sermon on the Mount that I'm trying to preach through a series, and if it keeps dividing up like this, it'll be a long series. Here Jesus preached this in one day, and he probably preached it several times, like itinerant preachers do. They take their message and they re-preach it. And we have Luke's rendition of the Sermon on the Mount, which is a little bit different, a lot different actually, than what Matthew has here. But this was preached from a mountaintop. We've gone through the Beatitudes. Now we're getting into part of the different points that Jesus made during his sermon. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. The influence of Jesus Christ cannot be accounted for just from his teachings, from his parables, from his even sermons, like the Sermon on the Mount. Great sermons, wonderful messages. But that is not what accounts for his influence. The world of humanity was touched by the presence of the living Son of God. Jesus came and dwelt among us, working among us, moving among us. And in the same way, the transformation that has happened in us because of our faith in Christ is to be an influence, not just in our words, but in who we are in Him. 2 Corinthians chapter verse 17 says a familiar thing that we've heard before. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. The change in us, the transformation in us that was brought about by the indwelling Christ and that we have because of Him can transform, can change the world. It's Jesus in us, not us alone and not our words alone, but Jesus in us. Now, Jesus identifies true believers with these two metaphors, salt and light. The first of these is that God, the people of God, are the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. And salt has two well-known, and Terry mentioned these when he gave his illustration. I really appreciate that, Terry. I thought about that, but I did not touch on that. The illustration of sodium and chlorine being both poisons, both very volatile and dangerous, actually. Explosive, actually. Yes. Put them together and you can make fireworks. Yeah. But anyway, there are two probably better known illustrations of salt, and they're both related to food, both of them. And we know that food sustains life and health. And God cares about life and health on this planet, not just for life and health for forever in heaven. And in the future, but life and health on the earth right now. Now, the early Christians had the Old Testament's creational view of life on the earth, of earthly life, and it was a viewpoint that later got influenced, as I've taught a lot, by the Greek concept of Gnosticism, the idea that the world was to be despised. Physical life was despised, and the material world was to be despised. Well, Gnostic thinking gave the church a bad reputation for being so heavenly minded that it was no earthly good. And that reputation is still valid today wherever Gnosticism is in the church. It's a heresy that needed to be thrown out, but it wasn't very well thrown out. Now, Christ's salt illustration directly opposes that otherworldly mindedness, like just thinking about the other world. No, the salt of the earth, now, this earth, this life. Now, the most noticeable influence of salt on food is to enhance its taste. And some of you have realized that when the doctor is taking you off salt and they give you that potassium stuff, and it's not the same thing. And you get a little bit of saltiness with the potassium, salt type of thing, but you don't quite get it. And it's just not. And it's like salt is given to enhance the taste of food. Make food more enjoyable, actually. And Jesus did not say, you are the salt of the church service, so stay in the salt shaker. You know, where you belong. No, that's not it. That is not it. He said we are the salt of the earth. We're to be out of the salt shaker. He wanted us to scatter throughout earthly life this salty influence that we have, making society a happier place, a more enjoyable place in all of its creational aspects, the things that he intended in work, in the sciences, in creative arts, in family life. All of those aspects are part of this life and part of the creational order that God made when he created the world. We must never, never, never withdraw from those things as Christians, because we're saying, I'm leaving the world. This world is not worth it to invest in things. That is exactly why we are salt, to invest in those things and to salt those things. We have to invade every part of those aspects of life, the creational order that God has made, with a salty influence, bringing out the original good flavor. And I quote that word good from what God said when he made everything. He said, it is very good, very good. And he put that good flavor in creation so that they would recognize that God the Maker is good. And we need to let people taste that by being salt, tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. That's from Psalm 34. Taste and see that the Lord is good. But if you don't have a lot of salt in there, or some salt to savor it, people might say, bland, I don't want it. And we're to be that salt. We're to be that salt. Another important effect of salt is on its power to preserve. And we've often heard about how meat is salty, salted in the past. of course, now we have canning, we have refrigeration. But we still, you go by and you still like to see jerky. People still buy jerky because it's just fun to eat, you know. And it's got that salty taste to it. Well, the ancient people did not have refrigeration. They did not have a canning process. And they used salt to keep food from spoiling, especially meat. And it came from the salt mines. It came from the salt mines, and it was caked up with soil and debris. It was not like we have salt. Well, we can just go down and buy some salt. No, it came blocks and big chunks of it, all mixed with dirt. What they had to do was they added water. And they leached out the salt, and then they strained it. They strained the briny water. That briny water could be set aside and made into salt, or they could just be taken, and you could soak the meat in it, or whatever needed to be dried, and then after it's soaked a little while, dry it, and it was salted. You know, that's the process that they used. Well, sin brought and continues to bring confusion, decay, moral decay into humanity. And God wants Christians to be that salty influence to slow down or even to totally prevent that decay process, that moral decay or that confusion that's in society, moral confusion. I remember so distinctly, there's some stories I remember from the hospital I will never forget. And one of them was a lady who came in. She looked to be about in her late 60s. And it looked like she had a stroke. She had every symptom of a stroke. She was talking nonsense. And she was just completely out of her mind. And we had to restrain her. She was fighting the restraints and she was just babbling away. She was dressed nice. It was like she must... I said, it had to be a stroke. It had to be a stroke. Well, they did lab tests on her, and the doctor said, start a liter of normal saline and give it to her as fast as she can take it. And with that 1 liter of normal saline, this lady sat up and was as normal as anybody. She had been on a diuretic that makes you lose salt. And she was salt depleted, and she had lost her mind. She was in total confusion. It was one of the most dramatic changes I've ever seen with something so simple as hanging a bottle of normal saline, which you do all the time in the hospital. And it saved her. It brought her back to her right mind. And in many, many ways, this is what salt we are to be for a society that goes morally insane. We have to speak up. We have to be salt. And a Christian, again, cannot be salt for society by staying and keeping our influence inside the salt shaker, inside these four walls. This is not where salt works. This is just where it's contained, maybe, and held for a little while. This is where we get our ability, perhaps, to realize that it's Jesus that makes us the saltiness of this influence on society. We must not fear mixing with unbelievers. Just the same way that Jesus did not fear befriending sinners and prostitutes. In fact, he had a reputation for that. And he was not afraid to have that reputation because he was being salt to them. People who know me in my work, or just they just know that I'm a minister, or they find out later, they might forego telling a dirty joke in front of me. Or if they've told one, they find out that I'm a minister. Or they realize that I'm present and I was in the room when they were telling a joke. They might apologize to me, you know, for having told. I said, why do they do that? Why do they, if I'm not there, or somebody else like me is not there, who has real high moral standing, why do they do that? Well, you see, they are made in the image of God. And they know, deep down in their heart, they know what is dirty and corrupted. They know that. But it's really, really hard to forget that or to ignore that in the presence of salt. It's just that I'm there. And they know that I have heard what is corrupt out of their mouth, or what is dirty, especially sexual jokes, and I hate them. I hate sexual jokes. But anyway, the Bible teaches us that we need to be in the world, but not of the world. And it's really specifically exemplified in Christ. He was in the world, but not of the world. And he said the same thing to us. He told us that we were not of this world. By maintaining our direct relationship with Jesus, by nurturing that relationship, by coming to church, hearing the Word of God, on our own, reading the Word of God, reading good literature. Many of you say that you listen to the radio programs where they're preaching the Word. This is wonderful. And this is because we are a new creation. We are not of this world. We are a new creation. And by being a new creation, we're not the same. We are like salt, and we have an influence. And it says that we are to change the world. We are to influence the world like salt, transforming change that's brought about not because of us, but because of the indwelling Christ within us, who can change this world. On our own, without Jesus, influence can actually be worthless and less than worthless. And I'll tell you why it's less than worthless. If this verse says, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. One of the problems that we have in reading the Bible many times is we don't understand the culture. And we read our culture back into the Bible as if that's how things are. Why didn't they put it in the refrigerator? You know, why didn't they put it in a can it in one of those stone cans with the grease lip around it so it maintained a vacuum? No, they can't do that kind of stuff. They didn't have the technology. So we have to understand, and many people understand, well, this can't be right because salt can't lose its saltiness. But if we understood what salt to them meant, yeah, I go buy a block of salt. Well, here it is. Well, I got to treat it to get the salt out of it. Well, when you're all done with it, what do you do with this leftover? You know, after they had leached out the the brine from there, there's always still a little brine left in the material, in the ground and debris and all that stuff. And if they just tossed it out on the ground, it would kill the fertility in the soil. So the logical thing to do with it was to throw it on paths where people trampled it under the feet of men and where you didn't want weeds to grow. You know, so you could have this nice path. Probably people just went out and threw that stuff, or they saved it up, like we say compost maybe, and threw it out on those pathways where it would be trampled underfoot of men. And that's what the scripture says. Not good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. Christianity, without Christ, without His presence, doesn't have a giving influence. In fact, it has just the opposite. It has a lethal influence on society. It's almost like that stuff that still has the brine in it, that if you throw it on good soil, it will kill the fertility of the soil. Well, Christianity has been attacked by several things. And one of them is legalism, and I've talked about that before. But legalism brings death, not life. Because what does it try to do? Legalism tries to base our relationship with Jesus on a list of rules, not on a relationship with Him. And this rule-keeping thing is pretty well illustrated in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Now, in most translations it says, where the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And usually I don't like to read paraphrase translations like the Message or the Living Bible. But I looked into the Bible and I really like it this time, because it really explains what is being said in that verse. And this is the whole verse, not just that phrase, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. This is from the Living Bible translation, or paraphrase. God is the one who has helped us tell others about this, His new agreement to save them. We do not tell them that they must obey every law of God or die, but we tell them there is life for them from the Holy Spirit. The old way, trying to be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments, ends in death. In the new way, the Holy Spirit gives them life. This is what the gospel teaches, that we are saved not by trying to keep the law, not by trying to keep a list of rules, even though they are good rules and good guidelines for our life. If we base our salvation on those things, we do not get saved. We end up dying in our sins by trying to keep a law that we still break. And we still need forgiveness for. And that forgiveness comes from Christ. And that life from the Spirit is the life of Christ, that the Holy Spirit brings in to live as the indwelling Christ within us. And His life in us is that salt. There's another thing that attacks Christianity, and that's liberalism. And some of you are very familiar with this. Liberalism brings death and not life, by abandoning the authority of the Holy Scriptures and by doubting the divinity of Christ. Declining denominations that are declining, they just don't get it. They just don't get it. They cannot depart from the faith without losing all the spiritual and practical benefits of the faith. They just can't do it, and they're trying to do it. Liberal Christianity, by rejecting the Bible as God's word, and by making Jesus an enlightened man, a very great prophet, a very great enlightened man, instead of the incarnated Son of God. Liberal Christianity, by doing that, has no authority but their own feelings for telling anybody that God is a God of love, He's a loving God, a forgiving God, a healing God. They have no basis to say that, except from their own feelings, their own ideas. And you know what? The world realizes that fact. And they can find no real salt there. They find no salt there. It is not good. It's not preserving anything, and it's not helping on their taste. And I think what a lot of times liberal Christianity, what it's done is it's ridden on the back and on the gifts of those who did have faith in the past. And it's sort of still riding on what's left there, but it's still in decline. The membership of those churches seems to be dwindling year after year until they finally close their doors. And I think some of you might have seen that happen, where churches are suddenly, it's over. For the older people were there, and then finally no young people, and finally the doors closed. Without Jesus, and without the book that testifies and introduces Jesus, the salt is no longer effective. It doesn't work. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Christ's presence in us has turned us into salt for the world. The change in us, brought about by the indwelling presence of the Savior of the world, can transform the world. Don't be afraid to get out of the salt shaker. And it's a very comfortable place. These four walls, nobody is opposing us. Nobody's saying anything about our faith. Nobody's making fun of us for believing in the Bible as God's Word and believing in Christ as God's Son. Nobody's making fun of us here in these four walls. They do out there. They crucified Jesus. The world crucified Jesus. And many times people get crucified, sometimes physically in this world today with all the persecution. But in a country like ours, some people are just persecuted emotionally, or they're persecuted intellectually. But the presence of Jesus in us is the presence that this world needs. And we have that presence. We are the salt of the earth. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for using metaphors and parables and illustrations that show the truth so clearly that it cannot be avoided. Lord, we just pray that we might be true salt. And Lord, that we might maintain faith, as we have quoted the Apostles' Creed today, that we might maintain our faith in your word, in your doctrine, in your teachings, and maintain faith in you and nurture your indwelling presence within us. By faith, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.